As a parent, what's the greatest gift that you can give to your children? As a grandparent, what's the greatest gift you can give to your grandchildren? Is there a gift that you can give them that endures time, that lasts forever? Stay with us in the Master's Brush. You may be surprised at the gift we discover today. Welcome to the Master's Brush, a series of programs exploring the powerful, explosive impact of Christian art on all of our lives. I'm here with Nathan Green in his studio, and for a series of programs, Nathan, we've been looking at paintings that you've done over the years, such a wide variety of subjects. Mm-hmm. Today we're looking at two paintings, The Night Watch and I'm With You Always, and these paintings are a little bit different. They have a little deeper meaning for you. Tell us how these paintings came about.
Well, a number of years ago, I talked to my publisher about, you know, I'm always asked to do paintings for an institution or a client of some kind that where they're telling me what to do, and they're paying me well to do it, but I want to do some things that I want to do. And so they thought about it. They came back to me and said, well, Nathan, what would you like to do? We will commission them. And there's been several paintings involved in that, and these two we're talking about today are two of those that I chose to do.
Why did you choose to do a painting like I'm With You Always?
Well, both of these paintings are showing a child sleeping with Jesus at the bedside. And I think it's because of my own experience as a father. I have three children, two boys and a girl. And I Am With You Always was the first painting, and it is my daughter, Bonnie, that's posed for that painting, little girl sleeping. She was maybe 7 or so at the time. She's 17 years old now and a beautiful young lady. But I just wanted to do something that would give confidence and courage and make our children feel like Jesus is with them and they can feel safe and secure.
As you've painted your own daughter sleeping, what expression did you want to put on her face?
Well, I think that expression of peace and calm and serenity that I have so many times seen when I walk in to check on her, like if I didn't get in there to pray with her before she went to sleep, they're like little angels when they're sleeping, aren't they?
When they're sleeping?
When they're sleeping. And yes.
Nathan, tell us about the difference between painting Jesus looking over a child like this, mm-hmm. and in some of your other paintings, Jesus, for example, is healing the man by the pool of Bethesda. At a time, he's forgiving the woman at the well. Mm-hmm. How do you paint Jesus differently for a little child's painting like this?
Well, I think in both of these depictions of Jesus, I've tried to render him with that peace and pure joy that I've experienced as a father. We have something that's tradition in our home, and it has been since our kids were little toddlers and younger even, that we go in every night and pray with them, but not only pray with them, but spend time with them. You know, they need time to talk and to download their experiences for the day. My daughter especially loves to talk. You know, you wouldn't think so in public. She's shy, but she talks, and she loves to go over things. But we would spend, you know, usually a half hour every night just talking about things. She loved little puppet animals. And in fact, we had three fuzzy white chickens that we would put together and pretend they were astronauts. And we'd have a countdown, 10, 9, 8, 7. They'd blast off. And then they would float around space and they'd bump into each other weightless. You know, it was so much fun. And I'll always have those memories. I think she will too.
So those moments with your daughter in the evening, mm-hmm. and then watching her fall asleep,
yeah.
and leaving the room, seeing her so peaceful, inspired this painting.
Yes, it did.
And What do you believe is the most enduring spiritual value that a parent can leave with their children?
Well, I think that they need to know that Jesus is there for them personally. He's not an abstract, you know, I'm not a deist by any means. I don't believe that God just put us here and left us alone. I believe that we can have a personal relationship with him. And I think if children can be reminded that they too can have this personal relationship, that's very important. These images leave lifelong impressions in their minds, and so important for them to grow up with that experience.
Pastor Dwight Nelson, pastor of the Pioneer Memorial Church, communicates so clearly, so articulately, the spiritual impact that these paintings have had on parents. Mm-hmm. Let's listen to his testimony.
Okay.
Nathan has prepared two paintings designed for parents with kids, essentially. You have Night Watch and you have I'm With You Always. And both are portrayals, and I love this, of Jesus standing by the slumbering side of a little tyke, a little child. They capture the assurance that the God of the universe, who's running a billion galaxies, still has time through the hours of the night to keep a watchful, loving eye on the tiniest of his forever friends. And if I had a room full of children right now, and I get privileged to deal with children Sabbath after Sabbath in our children's story time, but if I were looking into little faces right now, I would say, you know something, Junior? You know something, Sissy? Look at these paintings. You've got lots of heroes. You have Spider-Man, you have Superman, and all of these cartoon characters, but I want you to look carefully at these paintings because they're the picture of the best friend you have in the universe. You look at that one who's standing over you when you sleep. Number one, you never have to be afraid at night. You can sleep at peace. Jesus is always with you. And number two, he's with you because he's your friend. He is your friend forever and ever. So Junior and Sissy, you grow up with that friendship. Don't you ever let that friend out of your sight. He keeps you in his sight night and day. With that friendship, you begin it right here in this life, that friendship will continue forever and ever. That's the meaning of those two paintings. And if those paintings were hanging in a home, there would be a home that would radiate with that quiet confidence in the friend of children, our Lord Jesus Christ.
Pastor Nelson talks about that quiet confidence. One of the things that communicates that quiet confidence is the hand of Christ.
Yes.
Now, I noticed that you paint the hands of Christ very sensitively, and the hands kind of change. And you're painting on the carpenter, you have these strong hands sawing a board. In the painting of the invitation, you have the hands beckoning to come. Here, what are you communicating with the hand of Jesus?
Well, in this painting, I Am With You Always, Jesus, again, is doing the same thing that I've done before when I go in and find my daughter or my son sleeping. And have you ever done this as a father? You reach
sure.
in and you touch gently their head and the soft hair and the beautiful angelic countenance, you know. It's just a precious moment, really. But I have to tell you something about the hands of Jesus. Usually when I portray Jesus, the model that I use, his hands are not that large. I have another model that I put this other man's hands in Jesus' place because this other model, his hands are, you know, blue-collar worker, rugged, angular hands. And I picture Jesus that way. He had strong hands. I mean, he worked as a carpenter. He walked many, many miles. You know, I think he was a strong man.
So in this painting, I'm With You Always, the hands of Christ that caress the child's head are hands that are strong, protective.
Yes.
It's as if Jesus is saying, I will hold you in my hands.
Yes.
And you have nothing to fear.
That's beautifully put. Yes.
Right after the break, I'm going to talk to Nathan about what keeps him going as a Christian artist, how he can paint year after year without burning out. You'll be fascinated with that discussion. Stay with us. The painting I'm With You Always communicates a Christ who is there for a little girl who's sleeping so gently upon her bed. But there's another element in that painting that we didn't talk about, the Raggedy Ann doll.
Yes. Yes. Bonnie, my daughter, her grandmother, my mother, made that Raggedy Ann doll for her years ago. And just a last minute thought to put that in there with her. And it turns out there's a store, my publishers told me, somewhere in the U.S., that specializes in Raggedy Ann. And they've ordered hundreds of prints and postcards of this just because there's a Raggedy Ann doll in there.
Just think about how your art is being spread. And this idea of Christ protecting children, Christ there with children because of the Raggedy Ann doll.
Because of the Raggedy Ann.
Now, the Night Watch puts a boy in the picture.
That's right.
And there's some unique things around the boy.
There is. Actually, my wife desperately wanted our own boy to be in there, Daniel. But he was blonde, and my daughter Bonnie is blonde. And the publisher encouraged us to use a darker-haired boy. So we used a friend of ours from right around the corner from my studio. But a lot of the animals, the stuffed animals in there, are from my own boy, Daniel's bed. All of our children did this, where they collected these stuffed animals and surrounded their bed with them. But they're unique animals. Like, he had a pterodactyl puppet. He had an iguana. There's a black bear.
So there's an iguana in his
bed?
There's
an iguana in his bed. There's a black bear. There's a number of frogs. I like the black bear. It's as if he's watching over him, too, you know. It's typical of Daniel, you know.
So it's a real boy's picture.
Very much so.
And again, you've communicated this Christ who has such a compassion, a care, a strength for our children. And what an enduring value we can give to our children.
Yes.
Communicating with them that they're not alone in life, that they don't walk through life's journey by themselves, but that Jesus is there with them throughout life.
Oh, definitely.
Do you ever get burned out as a Christian artist?
Yes, actually, I do. Actually, I know that you're familiar with this because we prayed together once about that. It's easy. I think most of my artist friends achieve burnout at some point or another. I find the best solution from that sometimes is just to take a break or to spend time with my family or take a break with my family. And, you know, there are times when I feel like I can't put in the long hours I did before I had children, but you know what? It's been a great advantage to me to have children to spend time with. It's a great diversion from the stress that I feel from too much. You know, you can overdo it. So spending time with my children is just wonderful. My wife helps me a great deal too.
Yeah, are your paintings a family affair?
Definitely, yes. You know, my children, all three of them, have modeled repeatedly for these various paintings. You know, we thought that it would be cheaper to grow our own models. It is not cheaper, I have to admit, but it's nice to involve them in it. And, you know, if I give them a $20 bill, they're very appreciative for modeling. But one of my concerns when I built my studio away from home is that I would no longer have my wife, Patty, to come behind me and critique my work at the end of the day, because she was very good at that. In fact, sometimes she was too good at that, you know, and she'd come behind my shoulder, and if I didn't hear right away some praise, I knew I was in trouble. If she started laughing, I knew I was really in big trouble. But, yeah, many times she's being able to see things that I couldn't see because I'd been too close to the forest, too close to the trees.
Do you ever have to step away from a painting and take a long walk for an hour and come back and paint?
Yes, I do. I used to be a runner. I'm getting older, so I almost had to give that up, but I walk and I spend time away. That does make a big difference. Artists for years have taken mirrors and put them on the other side of their studio and look at the composition in reverse to give them a sense of, is there anything wrong with this composition? I do that as well.
Mm-hmm. Parents have taken these paintings of the Night Watch and I'm With You Always. They put them over the beds of their children.
Yes.
And they found real satisfaction, real meaning, real purpose as they have done that. Do you hang any of your own paintings in your own home?
Yes, I do, actually. We have a number of them. My daughter Bonnie is always asking for more. And we have the Lion and Lamb over near the dining room table. But even when our children were very young, we had the painting of the Lion and Lamb, Jesus and children in heaven with the lion. And it was hanging above the crib of our children. And one of our boys, at a very young age, you would ask him, where's Jesus? And he would point up, you know, at Jesus. And, you know, these things create lifelong images in their minds that they never forget.
So the goal, then, that you have in hanging these paintings in your own home and in painting is to create an image in a child's mind.
Yes.
What about the fact that some people would argue that that image of Jesus cannot be realistic because we really didn't know what Jesus looked like?
Well, that's a good point. And, you know, I've gone through this quite a bit. When Siegfried Horn, the archaeologist, was still alive, we had a discussion about what did Jesus look like. And he told me most anthropologists believe that Jesus was, 2,000 years ago, the Jews were of olive complexion, darker features, dark hair, dark eyes, like a modern-day Arab of certain descents, like Lebanese, for example. Not European, not Anglo-Saxon, you know. And so I've deliberately sought out models that had that appearance. But, you know, no one really knows what Jesus looked like. There was no definite description left. It would have been nice for us artists if there had been. But what I'm trying to convey more is his character, not literally what he looked like. And if people see in him the caring, loving, compassionate Savior that we read about in the Bible, that's my intent.
Your intent, then, is not to try to create a replica of physical features.
Right. That's right.
But rather a deep spiritual essence or aura that comes from the painting.
Yeah.
That communicates inner character, compassion, and love.
Yeah.
And that picture comes from Scripture.
Yeah.
Back to the paintings of the Night Watch and the painting of I'm With You Always. Mm-hmm. Those paintings are part of a grouping of children's paintings mm-hmm. that you have, which indicates that you have a great love for children.
I do.
And tell me about where these paintings are hanging. So where do the originals hang of this painting?
Well, actually, both of these originals were commissioned by my publisher, so they own the originals. I'm hoping that they'll remember me someday. I'd love to have the one of my daughter back someday. But some of the others, like the Lion and the Lamb, was commissioned by a private individual out in Oregon. The one of called the Lord God Made Them All, of dolphins and children with underwater creatures, that was commissioned by Don and Esther Latour, some good friends of ours. But some of these, mostly reproductions, end up in hospitals, and I hope they end up in like children's wards of hospitals. I'd love to think of them giving encouragement to children who are suffering and who want to be happy and naturally are inclined to be happy.
You know, Nathan, to think about the fact that hundreds, thousands of parents purchase these paintings, mm-hmm. hang them over the heads of their children when their children are going to sleep. And as those children grow, every night they come in and see this painting of Jesus, like the little girl with Jesus caressing
yeah.
her head.
Yeah.
Like the Night Watch with Jesus right there by the bed. Mm-hmm. When you really think about it, this art is making an impact on tens of thousands of lives.
Yes.
And leaving an enduring legacy. When you think of the images on television, contrast some of the violent images on television with these images.
Oh, yes. Yes. I mean, you know, we're bombarded by it. My own family is exposed to things, you know. When our antenna fell over a few years ago in a storm, we left it that way. And, you know, there are many good things on TV, too, but we really have to be careful. But I'm very sensitive to that fact, and I hope that these images provide an alternative to that for people that want their children to grow up with these impressions that will be lifelong and will be things they remember as young adults, as young parents themselves, when they are dealing with their own children, and maybe even through the rest of their lives.
Right after the break, we're going to come back, and I'm going to take you through three specific steps and share with you three things you can do as a parent to indelibly impress upon your child's mind the care and the love of God. Don't miss it. It'll really be a blessing to you and your family. The greatest legacy that any parent can leave to a child is the sense of God's love and presence in the child's life. The ancient Hebrew writer, Solomon, wisest man to ever live in the Proverbs, said this in Proverbs 22, verse 6, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. For many years, I struggled with that passage, because in my ministry, I'd meet parents who were godly Christian parents who brought up their children in Christian values and faith, but the child seemed to depart from it. And I wondered, what is Solomon talking about? Until one day reading, I looked at this expression, train up a child in the way he should go. And the Hebrew background, or the Hebrew meaning for train up, is touch the palate of a child. Ancient Hebrew mothers, to help their children in the nursing process at times, if they were having difficulty with that, or the sucking process, would take their finger and put it in a little honey, then put their finger in the child's mouth. The child would learn to suck, get a taste, and be able to suck the milk from the mother's breast. Touch the palate. Condition the appetite of the child when they're young, and they will have an appetite for spirituality that will be a hidden hunger in their soul that they'll never depart from. Think of it. If you and I are able to inculcate our children's minds with positive spiritual values when they're young, even if in after ages in their life, even when they're teens, if they drift away temporarily, there's always going to be that hidden spiritual hunger in their heart. There's always going to be that longing in their heart, because we've developed that taste when they're young. The text really says develop the taste when they're young. How can you do that as a parent? How can you develop a spiritual taste in your children's heart or life? Let me give you three simple steps. One, as your children are going to bed every night, sit with them. Talk to them when they're very young about the God that is there, the God that's near them, the God that loves them. Be very open about that when the children are going to bed. When our children were very young, my wife and I would gather them at bedtime. We'd sit there and share God's love with them. The second thing is read them a story. Children absolutely love stories. They're absolutely fascinated by stories. And there are all kind of character-building bedtime stories today that you can read to your children. Stories that'll touch their hearts, stories that'll inculcate them with positive spiritual values. Think of the difference between the child that sits before some television program and watches a violent movie and goes to bed trembling, afraid, with nightmares because that violent movie has showed murder and killing. Think of the difference between that and the child that goes to bed with a mother or father sitting there holding their hand, praying with them, reading to them a bedtime story about God's love and care and goodness. And the third thing is music. Music has a great calming spirit on the nerves. Some people are unusually gifted in music and singing. I don't happen to be. But we would often play Christian music to our kids when they were very, very young. And it gives them a calm spirit, especially at bedtime when you leave that room and you can just have a quiet tape on or a quiet CD on. The child goes to sleep with the songs of heaven in their mind, sensing the presence, the love, and the care of God. However much you love your children, God loves them much more. However much you want them in heaven, God wants them there much more. You may be a parent who's watching this program who have teenage children or kids who've drifted away. Don't give up on them. When you have implanted Christian values in their life, there is that hidden hunger for spiritual things. God's not finished with them yet. He's still reaching out to them. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you so much that you love our children more than we do, that by your grace and through your power, you're reaching out to them to draw them to your heart, that you'll never leave them. The Christ that's with the young child is with the teenager and the child in their 20s and throughout all their life. And we thank you that you're with them always and watching them in the night. In Christ's name, amen. Nathan, thanks again for what you do to bless and inspire us all.
Thank you.
I look forward to having you with us on another episode of The Master's Brush.